Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. It's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about our lives, the stories, the tales, our journey. Are we holding on to them deep inside? Are we saying, oh, nobody wants to listen? I'm tired of telling that story. Or I surely don't want to tell them all of the details, so I will kind of give them a basic, you know, PG rating and just see if it can slide through. Is our heart and our soul crying out and saying, can you give me some voice? Can you share how we've danced through our life and really feel and know we've lived a grand life, irregardless of the hours, days, times, eons, or decades that we've been on this earth? Today we're going to have a very easy show. We're going to engage and share tales. My guest today is Wayne McFarland. His book is Tales from the Day. Life-shaping events, the truth be told, all happened under the heading of oops. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
I am delighted. I've been looking forward to this with real anticipation. Thanks for the shot.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Wayne, I needed to finish out my week and say, you know, I've been talking about a lot of heavy topics these days. Life in 2020 has really dished us out and spit us back out. And we're saying, oh, we just need to be able to take a breath and say, look at where we've come, yes?
Yeah. Boy, I couldn't agree with that more.
Yeah. You know, I loved your book, Wayne. It was really, truly a lot of stories. And you would... But you were very vulnerable. You shared them. And, you know, you said, hey, you know, I didn't live a perfect life. I wasn't a super, you know, A1 up on did I do everything the right way. But it says also you did it your way, correct?
Yeah. And, you know, what really got me going on this, doctor, and it's I got the same feeling from your website and bio as well, if you want to know the truth. Mm-hmm. We had a little business and sold it. And I've always loved to read. So, and yeah. Memoirs and biographies. And so I read a bunch of memoirs. And Dr. Jeanette, by and large, they really were awful. Read them and I thought, that's not how it works. I mean, no one starts out with a crooked smile and straight teeth, gazes at the horizon and says, I go that way to my destiny. No,
right.
No, it doesn't happen like that. And yeah. How it happens is that, you know, you get out there. You get out there, and then things start to happen. And almost all the time, the goals you think you're going to achieve or what you think is going to happen almost never is. So I thought, you know, there was a humorist who's very much in line, I think, with what you're saying. He's been passed for quite some time now, but his name was Will Rogers, and he had a quote. And he said, you know, when you put down all the stuff you did not do and leave out all the things you really did do, that's memoirs. And that was most of them I read. I thought, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, we're afraid to be vulnerable because sometimes if we really share the details of our life, I mean, people are going to start judging, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's in some ways like you do in this great show of yours. You got great reach and everything, but still, you know, you put yourself out there, every show, you don't know how people are going to react. I mean, you don't. You can't. So when I first started this, I sent a couple of chapters out to some cronies of mine who were known for not being exactly diplomatic, and they liked it, and I did get a publisher, but the feedback I got was, look, memoirs are not done like this. You need to start out like, you know, Dickens, I was born, or my name is Ishmael, right? And then go through a story and end up at the end. And I said, no, the way that life happens, it happens in events that have a start and end to them. And so each chapter of mine is an event like roping a bear or pitching a loan shark or whatever the case may be. That was an event. It had a, and it's one chapter. So I figured, well, this book of mine, people will be able to read a chapter. And they don't have to, if they get busy for 6 weeks, they don't have to go back in 6 weeks and try and figure out in the beginning who killed the butler. I mean, you know, each chapter stands alone, I think, anyway.
What I think is cool about it is you can read a chapter and you could say, well, holy crap, I did this. Let me tell you about my story. And, you know, I think that should be the next word out of everybody's mouth when they get to the end of it, right?
Yeah, I really think so. And, you know, I've been thinking about doing this for some time, but my wife really nailed it. Just exactly what you said when we were chatting previously is that, you know, there's a saying in Africa that when an old person dies, a library burns down. And that was exactly the point you were making.
Right.
It goes away, the stuff that you did that may be instructive to other people, not in a preachy kind of way, but just something like, you know, don't do something stupid just because you're not at home, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
And my wife's point was just like your point. She said, you know, you really should do this so you're nieces and nephews and young people coming up, you know, can read it and go, you know, this guy must have been nuts or whatever the reaction is. So that was part of the genesis too.
Yeah, I think also too, the idea is that when you write it down, you actually can say, yes, I lived it and wasn't that cool. In other words, sometimes, you know, just as you said before, we sit down and read some memoirs and people say, you know, yes, it was at Christmas, you know, this whole quest of I have to have a wood-burning fireplace with a mantle on it so I can put all my stockings on it.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Just like I did when I was younger. And then you'll say, well, which year was that? What color was the tree? And you say, then they start going into a makeup thing because their life wasn't like that. But they've created such an illusion to cover up their hurt and pain. Don't you think?
It's absolutely been my experience. And when I read about, you know, memoirs and stuff from people, I'm always struck by the thing that, you know, it's the day-to-day craziness. You know, life, if you're open to it, things happen. And later, you look at them and say, like a cat who falls off a shelf and it gives you that cat look that says, I meant to do that. You know, people are like that too, and also, you know, when people know, hey, you may get involved with something like blowing town with a monkey, which is one of my chapters, or the day Johnny Cash hit on my wife, which really I think is humorous, but you know, I didn't start out to have that happen. I guarantee you. So you're exactly right. You know, people have to. You know, you made a point previously that you know, people, it's like having a bucket list. I read an interesting study of people in their 80s, and not one of them talked about the things they in terms of regrets, the things that they did, but every one of them regretted things they didn't do.
Yeah.
Now, that ought to tell us all something.
Yeah, I think the idea is, my gosh, are you going to wait until a certain time to start spewing stuff? And everybody figures, you know, I mean, if I'm in my late 60s now, well, when I was growing up, it used to be at 60 you started telling stories. Well, heck, now we're supposed to be around till we're 100. When is the point we're going to start telling our stories now, you know? And
right.
It's sort of like, I have zero plans to make it till then. My grandmothers did. They made it to 99, but I have no interest. So, I started doing the radio, and I share my stories for the last 10 years. But don't you think it's like, what are you carrying it around for, right?
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, Dr. Jeanette, that the spirits and the gods be what they are. Now that you said, I don't want to hang around that long. They're probably going to make you live to 150. You know?
Probably. You know, if I keep eating these darn vegetables all the time instead of me, I'm really going to be guaranteed that sucker. Oh, no, thank you. No, thank you. Oh, goodness. You know, and also, too, I think also, Wayne, I think is now is the time where I really want to encourage people in the year 2020 to start telling stories. Because even if you're in your 30s or 40s, something could come along and take you out. I mean, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Who do you think you are, you know? It's sort of like there's someone else in the bigger place that's got that job, and it's not us. So don't you think that if we start telling all of these stories, it will encourage more openness and connectedness with people?
And I think it also lets other people know, if you're honest about all the foibles, you know, what really happened, I think it lets other people know that they're not the only one who stuck their foot in a mud puddle. I mean,
Absolutely. We all do. Oh, look, come on. My mother had a jar of Kennedy half dollars in her bottom drawer, and every single week she'd put a few in, and every single week I'd go steal them back out. So, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, you know. And I can remember going through my grandfather's pockets for all of his change and doing it at my aunt's house, too. And it was sort of like, because I never had money of my own, you know.
Yeah.
And,
but, Did your mom ever say, what's
change,
with these silver dollars? Yeah. But
yeah.
This jar never fills up.
But nobody misses change. I figured, you know, hey, what the heck, you know?
That's right. No, that's funny.
But it shows that we aren't perfect, my goodness. And, you know, and it's to be able to be own it up and say, hey, yeah, that's what I did. I sure did. And you know what I did with that money? I went and bought candy. I would go on my bike because I was hungry. And you know what that told me? That was covering up that I wasn't fed enough when I was younger. My parents didn't take care of me as well as I thought. But that was my escape route. So there's a story.
Yeah, that's a good one. And, you know, I think no one should want to be in a position where I read an anguished email via this guy who had been in the Merchant Marine, and he's passed now. I mean, that was World War II, so a long time ago, right? And he wrote a memoir about his service there, I never read the memoir, but he couldn't get it published, couldn't get anybody to read it. And he wrote this anguished email about basically crying out, saying, you know, when I die, this is all going to go away.
Yeah.
All the people I talked about who are gone now, the only place they're living is in the book. And these experiences, and that goes right to your point.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know, and if you are holding experiences and you never tell anybody about them, they're just going to vanish. They're going to go like they never were.
But you know what I also think, too, is really cool is that, do you remember eons ago people used to write letters? You know?
back in the Jurassic period, right?
Yeah, the 30s and the 40s and the 50s when people wrote letters. But actually, if you think my first husband did write me letters. He used to go offshore for 3 weeks and come back in, so he used to write letters. But because they didn't have we didn't have cell phones then. Well, you know, perish the thought on that. But I think the idea is that once you're able to do that, it's almost as if putting your heart on a piece of paper. So if you can have someone to tell the stories, that's great. That's first. If not, you can sit down and write a letter to someone, and you can choose to mail it or not. However, still, once it gets on the page, it has just so much more magic. You look at it, and you know, don't you see it on those Hallmark movies where people are writing letters and the teardrops are on the page and everything, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's really important in a way, don't you?
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a lot to that, and I think that one of the great things about the gifts we've been given as people is one of them is that whether it be radio broadcast or a letter, our ability to read it or listen to it and visualize something above, beyond that, it's a great human gift, and it can be very emotional.
Right. And I just think it's important. And, you know, so many times we want to say we have to judge it. And, I'm not sure if I should or I shouldn't, all that other stuff. Sort of like, are you going to hurt someone? You know?
Yeah.
But I think also, too, the idea is, let's talk for a second, Wayne. When people are saying, oh, but they're still alive, come on. You and I can write a good story on this one. We're not writing it down because they're going to come back at us if we ever put that stuff out, right?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Even Mark Twain wrote some stuff and he locked it up. And in his will, he said this not to be released until 100 years after I'm dead. And most of it was rants against religion. But he did the same thing. You know, he wasn't willing to face the uproar.
Yeah, and sometimes we don't need to, you know. Sometimes sometimes we just need to dance with the devil, but not tell a worry about his shoes. You know what I mean? Kind of idea. You know, I always think of it that way, you know. People will say to me, oh, but it's so this and that. And I'm like, oh, goodness gracious. You know, the things we've done, you know. And, you know, look back on it. Most of us, you know, now we're in our 60s, 70s, and 80s. You know, a lot of my, I probably say better than 50% of the guests that are on my show are over the age of 50. Because they're willing to be able to share their stories now.
Well, I am, and I'm looking good.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Oh, no. My knees are not today, but that's okay. But I think, you think sometimes we say we're not trying to be perfect and we're not trying to be. How about the comparison of your story versus your obituary? Because an obituary is saying, oh, look at me, and here's all my medals. But your story says, wow, I really had a heart and a soul, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I also think, you know, to your point about writing something down because somebody might get offended, if the story itself has some kind of a thread to it, or, you know, you don't need to use a person's name. I mean, if you're worried about hurting somebody, it's the story, the event, and the impact of it itself that has merit. You know, if it's a tough story or a bad story, putting somebody's name in it and making them look bad when they may not be bad, they have no reason to do that. You don't have to.
It's always just their actions. Hey, you know, it's a pair of shoes that they put on for that day, and you take on a presence and an identity for that day, and that's your identity that played out. But it's not your soul that played out. It's your identity. And, you know, I think what's kind of cool, what you just said, is for that moment, if you don't want to really know, you can always write a book with an AKA, you know, or DBA, doing business as, or associate as, or an anonymous or whatever, or pen name. You know, pick your choice. But
as the French used to say, a nom de plume.
Yeah,
different name. Yeah.
Yeah, and don't you think that it helps to, I almost call it, loosen up the wheels? Can you imagine if you and I wrote a book about, really, come on, you've got deeper stories, Wayne, and so do I. But if we ever wrote those out and you sat next to someone and they were reading your book under another pen name, what would happen, right?
No. Yeah, you'd certainly find out if your tale, whatever it is, has reach and impact if somebody doesn't know it was you, you know.
Yeah.
So, I remember first couple of stories I sent out for people to review. You know, I'm thinking, okay, I can take anything, but just don't sneer at it. Just don't laugh at it. I mean, I want people to laugh at it for a certain reason, but, you know, for the right reasons, not the wrong reasons. And it worked out okay. I'm delighted that I did it, don't regret it in the least. If for no other reason than, well, look, I just met you.
Right,
My new friend, Dr. Jeanette. I would have never met you otherwise, probably.
Right.
So, hey, you know, you do stuff and you meet interesting people and who knows what else.
That's right. And I think the interesting part about that is that when you share your stories, it gives other people, I almost call it gives them their wings. In other words, it truly helps them to open up and not be afraid. I mean, like if I turn around and said, you know, I was a great kid and, you know, I always grew up and I had blonde hair and I used to wear stilettos. I don't anymore. And, you know, the idea is that everything was great and how many degrees did you ramp up and all. And they'll go, but you really don't know me at all then, you know, because you've only looked at my shell. And then when you start to open up and say, this is my vulnerable self, that could almost be the topic of your next book, right?
Yeah, it certainly could be, because what you just said is that if all you put out there for people to see is your show, that's all they're going to see. Yeah. How can they see anything else? I mean, I've known people who never put out anything, any part of themselves, particularly if you didn't put themselves in such a great light, and then would get hurt that people didn't see them for who they really are. And I thought, well, what do you want? I mean, people can't guess.
Yeah.
You may have a very generous and kind soul, but if you act badly and harshly, that's what people are going to see. Nobody will see anything else. That's what you're giving them to look at.
Don't you think also, too, now that we're in the year 2020, I don't think we could have had this conversation as delightfully dancing as we could have in the 80s or 90s, because the quest then was perfection. It was about cloaking yourself in an identity, you know?
Oh, there were a lot of books and people out there about, you know, how you create this persona that's going to knock everybody over. You don't create a persona that knocks people over.
Yeah.
You either have one or you don't. That's it.
Yeah.
So people, if they can't see it, you know, I can't imagine anything worse, can you, than to create a artificial persona and have everybody shouting with joy about it? I mean, I would be thinking to myself, you know, I just made this up out of whole cloth. It doesn't exist, you know?
Yeah. But in essence, your stories truly help others, because what happens is, you know, someone that does have a persona that's all cloaked up, they may be afraid of saying who they are because they see something. But when you share their stories, you know, they could say, well, I did something like that. Or, can we be friends so I can tell you my story? Because it's almost as if you are becoming a comrade of sorts. You know, so I think your book, Tales from the Day, it's almost saying, can we be an elder friend and let's chat, right?
Yeah, perfect. Yep, that's exactly it. Good for you. Terrific, yeah.
I mean you, Wayne, don't you have a Facebook page that it's like Elder Talk or something? You should.
No, actually, I have a website if people want to see it. It's talesfromtheday.com. And there's a shameless plug, right? And and I also have one personally, WayneMcFarland.com, but most of them are wrapped around my my writing. And so far the reception's been good. And, you know, if you write something or put something out there, as you've been talking about, that involves yourself, it's gratifying if people respond positively. I don't know how you do all these podcasts. I mean, it'd be like throwing a new book out there all the time.
Yeah, I read a book. Every single one is a new book, I'll tell you. And I've gotten really good at reading books. It's like, oh, I had 20 and it was Sunday. I've got 20 for this week. Okay, we're good.
But
it's such a delight because it takes you on a different journey. I think every one of your chapters takes you in a different space and time. In other words, sometimes when we watch movies, you know, it used to be a long time ago. You remember, I can remember my second ex-husband, he loves movies, you know. He would go to all of them, you know. He grew up in New York City in the 40s, you know, and they always went to the movies, and that kind of thing was a real thrill. And he kind of jumps into the movie, and then when he has to come back to reality, he's so disappointed, you know. But I think sometimes when we get into a story, if we can always just step into that space and time, it's almost as if I need a feel-good comfort moment for a minute, don't you think?
Yeah, good writing will do that, in my view. That's part of the goal. And one thing about, you know, we've talked a bit about writing memoirs and books and stuff. I get it. There's a lot of books out there, and if the writing is good, they'll bring tears to your eyes. I mean, literally, it's maybe about a death in your family or a very bitter betrayal on divorce or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I read those, and I guess part of my personality, I just say, you know, what's the point? Maybe it's cathartic. But, you know, we all have tragedy and pain in our lives.
Yeah.
But we also have joy and fun.
Yeah.
So given the choice, I'd rather go down the joy and fun route. But that's just me, you know.
Okay, and Wayne, you were also around for the disco years, weren't you?
Oh, God. Whoa,
don't you have the stories from then? I can remember going. I lived in New Orleans at the time. I still live here now, but in the 70s, and we would go to this place that was
stop. You live in New Orleans? I love that place.
Yeah, and I came here in the early 70s, and it was right when the – you know, the disco stuff, and, you know, we'd go to this one bar, you know, in Fat City, and it would be, we'd start out at 11 o'clock, and then we'd go till 11 o'clock the next morning, and, you know, I'd always think about it, and who are you going to sit next to, and you're like, oh, let's just shimmy up to this one, see what kind of story he's got, you know, and then, you know, and then you go to another one, you'd find out another story, you know, and I think women kind of had an advantage then, because if they paid attention, wow, the stuff you could figure out about people, don't you think?
A lot of it they probably didn't want you to figure out.
Right, right. I mean, I knew that guy. That one was in the mafia. That one slept with a machine gun under his bed. Yeah, we all know how that got there, or who knows that. But that story is another day. But, you know, I think also, too, the idea is that, wow, it was a time where, oh, our stories, we had so much merit and oomph, and they had such, only the best of movies could be written about it, you know, don't you think?
Yeah, and you live in New Orleans. Doggone it, Doctor, now I'm envious. I mean, I always loved that place, so you were there during the hurricane and the whole deal, huh?
Oh, yeah, I have a story about that one, too.
Sure. Oh, I'll bet. Yeah. I'll bet. So, I don't know what parish you're living in, but that looked really bad to me.
Yeah, I think that, you know, my story for that one came up is when I got tipped out of the chair. Everybody in the apartment was sleeping because the whole city had evacuated, and we decided to stay because I was in the emergency room with a blood clot in my leg. So in a way, my soul had created that expectation that I wasn't going to go. It wanted me to experience this. So anyway, we're sitting in the apartment, and I got tipped out of the chair at the height of the storm. I walked to the door and put one hand on the doorknob and one hand on the back of the door. And it said, open the door, open the door. And I'm thinking, oh, that feels so good. I'm going to open the door. It's going to blow my hair, and I want to see how strong the wind of the hurricane is right on top of us at the height of the storm. And then there's another voice that puts their hand on my shoulder and says, not today, dear, not today.
Exactly.
And my hands popped back, and I'm going, whoa, that was like which ghost or which angel was talking to me then? And it was like incredible, you know? And I think if we look at all of your adventures and all your stories from your book, Wayne, don't you think there was some sense of intuition that was driving it? But there was also some sense of, let's see how far I can take this rope to the end of the corner, right?
Yeah, that's interesting. Nobody's asked me that before. I think probably so, you know. I've had a number of people ask me, well, you know, a lot of people didn't do all this stuff or get put in a situation where this kind of stuff would happen.
Right.
And I said, yeah, that's true, which comes to my theory of, it's like all the stuff you've done. There's nothing more frightening than pushing the envelope a little bit, than getting involved with something that's a push for you. But on the other hand, you're not going to get to be in your 80s and be regretting stuff you did not do either. You know, should have taken this opportunity or gone to Europe or done this or done that. It really makes me sad. You know, I left a little town in the Midwest when I was, you know, out of college. Mm-hmm. And some years later, I was back visiting relatives. And just out of happenstance, a high school reunion was being held. And we were all a bit down life's path by then. And when I blew town. One of my stories, blowing town with the monkey. When I blew town with the monkey, most of my friends then told me I was completely insane. I mean, really. And I was dating this girl back there, the scion of a rich family and all this stuff. What passed for rich in the Midwest. Yeah. And when I went back, Dr. Jeanette, it would have broken your heart. I mean, at one point or another during the evening, I had a lot of those same friends come up to me and say, I wish I'd done it. I wish I'd had the guts to do it. And by then they had families and kids and, you know, debts and regrets. You know how it goes. And you reach a point where your decisions you make, and then there's one guy in particular was an electrician. Great guy, good friend of mine. And he took a job as an electrician and a summer job, and then got married, and one thing led to another, and pretty soon 15 years have passed, and he was an electrician in the Midwest. There's nothing wrong with that, but he desired to travel and all this kind of stuff, and he was never going to do it, and he did not. I mean, to this day, Well, you can't. That's another thing. Mm-hmm. If you have family and responsibility, you know, you reach a point where you, if you want to indulge yourself and go do that, you're going to hurt a lot of people behind you. So, yeah, and at least I kind of suspect either you and I are going to have to worry about saying, I wish I would have done that, you know?
Yeah. But also, too, you know what I noticed is when you go back, because I went back to mine, too, they kind of looked at you like, ew, you know, because in their own regrets, do you know what I mean? It was their own issues.
That's
because,
right.
And you almost feel as if, well, now, you know what, I just don't belong here anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of times people say, you can go back, you can go back. But are you going backwards in what sense? Your life, your time, your space, the way in which you are, who you are you willing to do that? And I think I'd rather just write it all down and keep on moseying with my head to the sun, you know?
Good
I got to go
you,
forward. I'm not going there again, you know?
That's why the Thomas Wolfe poem about you can't go home again, I think, has resonated since he wrote it so many years ago. And it really is true. I mean, you reach a point where, you can't. You're not the same person, and you live in different environments, and you can go for a visit, but you can't go back to stay.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, you could find that it's okay for a few minutes or a few hours or days, and you're like, okay, we're ready to go back.
That's right. Or you're saying... Or you're saying, let me out of here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my daughter went back with me to my city, and she's like, okay, you know, do I need to get out of the car? Can I just let you out to see what you wanted to see and get back in? She was driving, and she was like, hey, I'll slow up, and you can hop out, and I'll circle around, you know?
That's right. Let's head south, back to New Orleans. Yeah, let's get out of here.
She was just so uninterested. It was like, okay, you know, whatever. And I had a list, you know, the things I wanted to do. And she says, well, we did, you know, a few of them. Do you think you can kind of, like, chuck the rest? Like, does that, like, soothe your soul enough so now you can go back home? And I'm like, oh, okay, fine, you know. I think the idea sometimes is, you know, sometimes, Wayne, we just have to shake all of this out and say, wow, yeah, I was a really cool person, even though I didn't get that blue medal. I didn't get that notch in my belt. I didn't get all of those accolades. But you know what? I was really still a cool person. Don't you think that's what we need to feel somewhere before our clock starts to run out?
Yeah, and I think one of the things that makes it so hard is, you know, there's a constant drumbeat. Now, I'm not a fake news media is all bad kind of guy, but there's a drumbeat that not only in our era but other eras that runs through pop media. That is, if you're not a multimillionaire by the time you're 25, there's something wrong with you. And or if you're not, you know, a rock star, or if you're not this or you're not that. And then as you go along, other levels kick in, or if you're not a CEO by the time you're 45, you're a failure and all that. None of that's true. None of it's true.
Yeah. I think sometimes the thing that makes it true is the ones that say, it's my level on my ladder, and I need you to hold it up for me. You know? In other words, it's kind of like conjuring up all of the others so that they can hold together your picture, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, it's a tough place to be. I think also, too, I wanted to touch in closing, Wayne, is that to seek out others to share, to talk, I think we need to hear our voice a little bit more. We pretty much have been quieted in silence because we're typing things out on social media, you know, being the one looking for the, well, do you like me or will I be part of your tribe, you know? But I think people are really saying, I want to have that connection. Can I talk to someone so they'll listen? Can they tell me something? And it's sort of like this banter back and forth. And what we're asking is humanity safe? And I think that's truly what we wanted to know. Is our life a safe place to be? Don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's bravo. I mean, that's, And I've always been a believer in one thing, you know, people and all the social media, and you hit it right on the head about, you know, please like me and I want to be part of your tribe and whatever. The Taoists have a saying about the star that stands still in the universe, in the firmament, all the other stars start to wheel around it. And I've seen that where people who just are their own self and say, look, this who I am and this is what I do, and I'm sorry if you don't like it, but
yeah,
without exception, I've seen every one of them acquire the kind of things, whether it be fame or whatever it is, that other people who work really hard at trying to find the latest thing and hooking up with the latest whatever it may be to try and get a lot of people to think they're pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
They spend their time hammering away that doesn't get them anywhere. I think you just got to do your thing and be pleased with yourself. And if other people are pleased with you, great. And if they're not, well, oh well.
Yeah. I think sometimes think my life has been too hard, my life has been too easy, or did I miss the boat altogether? And, you know, I always used to say, people would say, stay on the highway, stay in the middle, don't get off an exit. And I'm like, oh, heck no. You know, I hop off that exit and I'm going to see what's down there. And even someone had said to me the other day, they said, about black holes. And I said, oh, my gosh, I just love black holes. Take me down a black hole. Because then when you get tighter in pressure, you realize that nothing is important. You pop out the other end, and what are you? You're a ball of pure energy again, and you can go find another way to be. And it's almost like your stories, you know, you take it right to the end, and you say, pop, where do I go next, right?
Well, there's not a single diamond that's ever been formed without pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah. And the pressure is to get out the other side. They think the pressure is to stay there, you know, or figure out what's wrong or go back the other way. No, the pressure is to go through and say, pop, okay, cool, great, what's next?
Bravo. I haven't looked at it like that, but I find I agree with you.
Yeah, it's just much easier to go that way.
Yeah.
Well, Wayne, it was such a pleasure to talk with you today because I think when
we
share...
Well, you too, Doctor.
It feels lighter, doesn't it? It just feels like a good end to the week, right?
it was great. I've been looking forward to it, and didn't know what I expected, but it wasn't something to be as good as this. Thank you, Dr. Jeanette.
You never know what the shell looks like until you crack that sucker open, right?
Sad but true, yes.
Absolutely. Well, Wayne, it was such a pleasure to talk with you. Can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your books? That would be great.
Thank you very much. Well, I have a website, talesfromtheday.com, and it's got all the information there, and of course it's available on Amazon because Jeff Bezos needs our money. He's only worth $1 trillion now, so he needs our money. Bravo, Jeff. So that's where they can go to find out about the book and ordering it and stuff like that. So talesfromtheday.com.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It was a pleasure, and we highly encourage everyone to get that voice out there, yes?
Yes, Doctor. Thank you so much.
Thank you. If you'd like to find out more information from Wayne McFarland and his book is Tales from the Day, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page. You go directly to his website for more information. And it truly is about dancing with life. It's okay if you've got those you-know-what kind of boots on and if you've got those tall stilettos and you just want to dance through the world. It doesn't matter. It's about enjoying the dance. Let the sun shine on you. My goodness, your three-piece suit can always be dry cleaned or trekked out for another if you can get some mud on it. You have got to enjoy the joys of life. Get out there. See what it's all about. Share a story with someone else because they, too, are looking for a kind place for their words and their thoughts to land. Be that soft place to land. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.